Hello and welcome to the Nashville Daily Podcast. I'm Stuart Demick.
And I'm Aaron Pennington.
And today we're watching the 59th State of the Metro Nashville Address. I don't know if all of them have been streamed or whatnot, but we're watching it today.
There you go. So follow along, grab your popcorn and a drinking glass, and we'll review Mayor Cooper's State of the Metro Address. Welcome to our live commentary on the 59th annual State of the Metro Address. This was given at 10 a.m. yesterday, and today's episode is going to be us just watching through it and giving some of our thoughts, and then at the end, we'll go through a little conclusion and probably talk about it more throughout next week as some of what Cooper's talking about gets more commented on and we get more information from some of this stuff as well. So we're going to start all the way at the beginning of the State of the Metro Address. All right, so here is the beginning of the State of the Metro Address from Mayor John Cooper.
Very good. Good luck. Okay. Well, it's so great to see everybody, Vice Mayor Shulman, Deputy Pro Tem Withers, council members, my fellow Nashvillians, and my wife of 25 years in June, Laura Cooper. Thank you all for being here today. I am so honored to join you at the Southeast Community Center for the 59th. Annual State of Metro. Now, in my first State of Metro, it was delivered to an empty council chamber 2 years ago. You and I faced a crisis budget as we dealt with the first wave of the pandemic on the heels of a tornado that ripped through neighborhoods from North Nashville to Hermitage. Now, already on shaky financial footing, thanks to years of spending down reserves, the pandemic threatened to bring Nashville to its knees. We were facing the greatest set of challenges in Nashville's history. But we believed we would get through them and be a stronger city on the other side. And we did, and we are. Now, 12 months later, at our second State of Metro, we gathered in the Music City Center with an investment budget, signaling Nashville's economic rebound. Our convention center doubled as our largest vaccination site, shouldering our recovery one shot, one arm at a time. Now, in Nashville, we recognized that the vaccine was the turning point, and we ended all COVID capacity restrictions a year ago. Once the vaccine was available to every adult. Now, our economic recovery has been nothing short of remarkable. Davidson County's unemployment rate has fallen from 16.9% 2 years ago to 3% today. We have the fourth lowest unemployment rate among all major metros in the country. And we still have the lowest property tax rate of all of our peer cities in Tennessee.
It's crazy that we have the lowest unemployment rate, but still so many businesses are hiring.
Yes.
It's wild.
Including Knoxville, Chattanooga, Clarksville, Murfreesboro.
I'm drinking.
And Wells Fargo Economics recently cited Nashville's pragmatic approach to managing the pandemic. For our return to pre-COVID form, and the prevention of economic damage that is seen elsewhere. That pragmatic management also saved lives. As Vanderbilt predicted, and Nashville was able to save 1,000 lives. And Nashville thanks Dr. James Hildreth for his steady counsel and the entire Meharry Medical College for partnering with Metro. Now, this budget addresses the most critical issues facing our city. We need smart investments. We need innovation to help meet new challenges that we face. We need effective management in the time of rapid inflation. Yes, we have yet another challenge to face there. Now, my agenda for neighborhoods and families has six core items. One, investing in our children's future through education. Two, keeping our neighborhoods safe. Three, building and preserving affordable housing. Four, addressing homelessness. Five, improving our city's fundamental services and transportation infrastructure. And six, creating a greener, more sustainable city. This is our vision of a city that works and works for everyone.
Everyone's thrilled.
Now, what better place to lay out this new agenda than here in Southeast Nashville, where our investments in Mill Ridge Park and a new park off of Tusculum Road, a new 9th Police Precinct, a new Cane Ridge Middle School, and even additional staff at this community center are pieces for what can be a model for live, work, play communities across
the state. This isn't the community center that's in the mall,
right? Now, this budget is a budget for full recovery.
I don't know.
To take us to the next level, to really deal with city problems, we are going to invest in fundamentals, fix what has been broken, underfunded, not maintained, not picked up. This is our moment to fix a generation of problems.
So just for context, just in case anybody does not know when Cooper came into office in that context. He came in essentially behind one to two-year term mayors.
Yeah, so we had four mayors in 4 years.
Yes.
So we had Carl Dean, Mayor Megan Berry, and then David Briley. And then the state of Tennessee basically said, hey, Nashville, you have to have another election. And then John Cooper came in as the fourth mayor.
Yeah, and this was, I believe,
2019.
Yeah, 2019. So he really only had about a year of being a mayor before the 2020 year of disaster came to Nashville. So that's the context in which Cooper came into Nashville. He's also signaled that he will be running again for re-election. So that's the kind of the context in which Cooper came in.
For the next election, there's already a few other names being circulated out there, so we'll talk about those names probably in the future.
That have been handed down. Now, thanks to careful financial management, we are in the position to make this much-needed investment in our future. And I'm going to walk you through this ambitious agenda for our neighborhoods. I'm going to go over a lot of investments, new projects, innovative approaches, and improve the many ways that government needs to deliver for you and your family. Now, first is education. Now, let's talk about...
And this is just a small little note on this. Some of the differences between governance of mayors, there's pretty much two schools of thought. It's number one, government needs to do stuff for you. And number two is the government needs to sit back, protect your rights, and make sure they're not infringed on. And you can see where Mayor Cooper is with that.
Our schools are Nashville's great engine of opportunity. They're also the physical foundation of our neighborhoods. Great public schools require consistent prioritization. Now, 2 years ago, we provided laptops and internet for every student to bridge the digital divide during COVID. Last year, we made the largest ever new investment in our schools, $81 million, and it made Nashville's teachers the best paid in Tennessee. The average Metro teacher saw a salary increase of just under $7,000, helping to retain our talented teachers. And this past year, 35% fewer teachers left the district than in the year before I took office.
Well, there you
now,
go.
1 year later, we are back with even more support for the district. $91.2 million of new funding, a new record.
So last year's budget, I believe, was a little over $1 billion for public schools, if I remember correctly, right?
It was 81 million is what he said was last year's funding.
Well, for the additional funding on top of the $1 billion budget that they annually have.
Okay.
Yeah. So the city of Nashville gave them additional funding on top of their budget.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. So the other thing when we talk about schooling and funding, and this is just a stat that is worth considering. I think funding, if it's going towards the right places, is great, especially if we get better teacher retention. But more funding doesn't necessarily mean a better school. You know, Nashville's probably the most funded school system in the state.
Yep,
and it probably has some of the worst scores.
Yep.
So it's and this is true throughout the country that the most funded schools are definitely not at all close to the top ranking schools. So that funding has to be very intentional.
Consistent prioritization, sustained commitment for our kids. Now, this unprecedented investment will fund salary step increases, a 4% cost of living adjustment. It allows us to bring bus drivers up to competitive wages and to fill the more than 150 bus driver vacancies to get every child to their seat by the morning bell for a full day of learning.
Well, what's really interesting about that is every single employer in Nashville is struggling to hire right now. And so just because it's an increase in pay, I don't know if Metro owns all of their own buses. I believe they outsource a lot of their buses to companies like Gray Line or other bus transportation companies. So that's a really interesting dynamic.
To see if just because the funding is available
doesn't mean
that the jobs will automatically be filled. Yeah.
Now, for every parent who's had your morning disrupted by a late bus, this will help you.
Yeah, that would suck.
We're also proposing a pay increase for cafeteria workers and for the paraprofessionals who support our teachers.
Okay, now this, we're not going to stop very much more during this school section. This is interesting. Like, why in Cooper's hour-long state of the address, a state of the metro address, is talking about the pay of the cafeteria workers? It seems very, very small. If he were to do this across the board and talk about this in every other light, we'd be here for a billion hours. So,
especially for the people for the Nashville Department of Transportation.
Yeah. So why is so much time being spent on this? This is what I think. You know, Nashville's not known for their great schools. And so you'll hear that, you know, what Cooper didn't say in his steps in for creating next year's Nashville was not, let's get the biggest businesses in and let's make sure the East Bank is developed. I'm sure we'll hear about that, but, you know, that wasn't what he started off with. He started off with things that when these companies are coming into Nashville, what they are looking for in a city. So that's why you're hearing about this early on. That's why you're hearing so much about the schools, because I'm sure Nashville is sick and tired of these high-ranking CEOs coming into Nashville
and moving to Williamson County.
Yeah, and all of these C-suite executives, and exactly what Stuart said, they're moving into the surrounding counties because the school system is much better in the surrounding counties. So the prioritization in this speech and right off the bat does need to be about schools if you want to convince those people who have a lot of money to stay in Davidson County.
With exceptional needs.
Got a half standing ovation.
And
there.
We are delivering on something that is frankly overdue. Paid family medical leave for all MNPS employees. Now, I remember meeting with teachers at McGavick High School during my campaign and hearing from them how much they needed paid family leave. And teachers and support staff should no longer have to choose between taking care of their own child and a career of educating someone else's. This is a landmark commitment towards elevating and respecting educators in Nashville.
Educators.
And fixing our finances is...
We thought about doing a... thought about doing a drinking game to this, but
I was just literally about to say, I wish this cup of water.
Okay, I have some coffee. Anytime, but after the school section, I think there's a few words that we'll hear a lot of.
We have to drink.
let us know. I feel like we should have made this drinking game rules before.
Yeah,
we'll think of things as he's finishing up.
What made this investment possible? Now, with our investment supplemented by President Biden's COVID relief package, the district has provided additional social emotional support to facilitate learning, advocacy centers in every elementary school, restorative practice programs in middle and high schools to de-escalate conflicts, mental health counseling, more social workers, and an expanded community achieved program to provide wraparound services to students and their families. Now, Deputy Mayor Haywood, I know this is something you're deeply passionate about as a former teacher. And over the past 2 years, we made the largest capital investments ever in our school facilities across the county, $397 million, including the new James Lawson High School in Bellevue, and $115 million in chronically underfunded electrical, roofing, and HVAC repairs.
They were having some major
problems with
that. And
that went to 75 schools last year. We are upgrading classrooms across the district from a new middle school in Cane Ridge to a new elementary school in Goodlettsville. I am proud of what we have accomplished with the largest investments in education.
I can't understand the sign language because I can't see the other hand.
That's hilarious.
And our commitment to you is that we keep providing our principals and teachers and support staff the tools and resources they need to make the next generation of Nashvillians the most successful one yet.
But in addition to great schools,
kids need to stay in safe neighborhoods to learn and play. Studies show that growing up in a neighborhood that has had a homicide reduces kids' test scores.
Okay.
Where are we getting that study?
Well, it's causation. Like, correlation does not equal causation. Just because there's a homicide doesn't mean you're going to do bad on your test tomorrow. It means that probably the neighborhood that would have a homicide has a less likely rate of student success than a neighborhood that doesn't, which makes sense, but it's not necessarily the outcome statement of that study is not necessarily the correlation that I think he's saying it is.
And Chief Drake has recreated the Central Homicide Division with 28 detectives and their supervisors working to bring the most serious offenders to justice. And last year, we funded a new precinct. And this year, we added 400 new vehicles, equipped 1,400 officers with the newest technology to keep our officers safe and reduce the use of deadly force.
Everyone's like, golf clap.
And today, we're proposing the hiring of 157 additional emergency response personnel to meet the community safety needs of a growing city.
That one's going to be interesting how that pans out.
Now, 40 more 911 dispatchers.
That's
to meet national standards for response times while they handle half.
Let's pause it for a second. There was a report from I think this was News Channel 5. There was a business was broken into a couple days ago, and it took almost 48 hours for an officer to come and make a report for this business.
Jeez. But that's not on the dispatcher.
It's not on the dispatcher. It's just the lack of officers that we have in the city right now.
Oh yeah. There's a definite need.
Each one a life potentially hanging on. 46 more police officers to staff our new 9th precinct, which will break ground here in Southeast.
And that's one of those things where, you know, the funding is there. Fantastic.
Does that mean people want to work?
That's going to be, I mean, we've heard across the state how difficult it is to recruit new officers. The state's taken a lot of measures in the marketing side of things get new officers into the state. So it's great that we have the money available to hire these people, but hopefully that money is also going to recruiting as well.
Mm-hmm.
Spring. Eight new positions for crime analysis, expanding the evidence processing unit's capacity, and another 31 firefighters.
All right, so this wasn't entirely divided up very well when watching this. So we're watching this from Mayor Cooper's Facebook page. It's just clips of 8-minute clips. So the first one just ran out. Here's the second one.
Friday, the application will close for a $1.7 $5 million violence interruption pilot. 39 groups have requested the application through the hub. So Ron, you and the Public Health Department have your work cut out for you. And I want to thank council members Jennifer Gamble and Aaron Evans for all of their hard work on the advisory board. Now the nation is noticing your work. A few hours from now in Los Angeles, the U.S. Department of Justice is announcing a new knowledge lab to support cutting-edge law enforcement. Nashville was the first city invited to join.
Very cool. That is fantastic.
Almost a little bit louder than a golf clap.
And Nashville is also on the nation's leading edge in how we respond to those experiencing a mental health crisis by prioritizing treatment and not criminalization. Last year, we created Partners in Care, an innovative co-response program that pairs police officers with mental health providers, and it's working.
We talked about this a couple episodes ago in our podcast last week. If you want to check that out, go into our archives.
In the first 9 months, Partners in Care teams responded to 1,135 calls and made just 43 arrests. That's an arrest rate of 3.8%. Instead of taking people to jail, officers and mental health professionals are working together to connect people to the care they need. And we're doubling the Partners in Care pilot from North and Hermitage precincts to Central and South Precinct in coordination with our partners at the Mental Health Co-op. And 2 months ago, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services recognized Nashville as an emerging national model. And HHS is going to help develop non-law enforcement responses to behavioral health.
Three people in the entire world.
And working with Judge Melissa Blackburn and District Attorney Glenn Funk and Public Defender Markeisha Johnson and many others, we're also launching a new mental health court. We have made a generation of progress in just 2 years' time, and we're just getting started.
So the mental health court, we'll have to look into that whenever they start talking about that. My thoughts are if dangerous people or people who need help are being taken off the street and put into a facility that's going to make sure that they are taken care of, then there you go. We'll see. But we'll see what that mental health court is. I'm sure they'll release more details later.
Yeah, probably.
And this is Nashville at its best. Smart, compassionate, and effective. Now, last year, peer cities saw record homicides. Memphis, Louisville, Austin, Indianapolis, many more. Not here. In 2021, homicides here in Nashville fell by 9%. But despite our progress, we face real problems. Gun violence has risen over the past 5 years. Property crimes are up. But we are responding with additional resources and new approaches. Now, earlier this year, the council approved a 6-month pilot of license plate reader cameras. Now, this technology will give Nashville a valuable tool to combat hard-to-solve crime.
Unless you get the new Tennessee state license
plate. And they can't read at night. Yeah.
Like auto thefts, kidnapping.
Do you say auto thefts?
Auto thefts. I think that's
not
a drink.
To be used for traffic violations, which is important. But auto thefts are up 22% year-over-year.
Say it again.
And this new tool will help make our streets safer. Our approach strikes an appropriate balance by protecting privacy. License plate reader cameras have raised some concerns, but we are taking a common sense approach here.
It's been controversial.
And begin with a 6-month trial assessment. And if shown to be effective and equitable, we will join our surrounding communities and peer cities that are already using LPRs effectively. Through investment, more first responders, and new approaches, we are making Nashville a safer community. Now, the third part of my agenda is affordable housing. Others so value what we have here in Nashville that our property values are climbing. It's worth repeating. Others value what we have in Nashville so much that our property values are dramatically increasing. And we must get housing right. Nashvillians need to be able to live and work here, to raise their children here, to have their children find opportunity here.
Now, this is, and let us know, comment below what you think about this. It is, my opinion is that Nashville has grown. I think there's a lot of things wrong with a lot of the housing stuff that's going on. Essentially, so many homes are being purchased with the intent to rent.
Yep.
That it's driving things up. So that's a little bit artificial. So it's not reflecting true housing demand. There's a shortage of contractors. There's a shortage of material. There's a shortage of even homes and apartments available for people at the price level they want. But the other thing that I really think is that, and talking to a lot of other people, I believe this is true, that Nashville grows so fast that a lot of businesses pay what they should have, pay now what the paying should have been, 5, 6, 7 years ago.
Yep.
And have not necessarily kept up with the inflation of Nashville's living expenses. And so it's making the housing market, the apartment market in Nashville less affordable, because there are a lot of companies who do pay well, but a lot of companies who, where normally it'd be 2-3% increase, but I think Nashville has increased much more than that per year for living expenses.
Yeah, the report right now is rent is up 50% compared to last year.
Yeah, especially since 2019, 2020.
And you have to think about this. Companies like BlackRock, they bought, I believe it was the last quarter of 2021, they bought over $2.3 billion of inventory in Nashville. And then they're turning...
In Nashville.
Jeez. And then they're turning that into rentals.
Yeah. Yeah. And then that is that artificial drive that we're seeing. Oh, we got
a very delayed unexpected clap
there.
Yeah, because,
and my agenda's approach is to create and preserve affordable housing, and it's threefold: invest in what works, increase staffing to meet the challenge, and innovate through new approaches. Now, in my time as mayor, we've taken major steps to address Nashville's affordable housing need, including directing 5 times the rate of investment to building and preserving affordable housing.
That is only because of Amazon.
All past efforts in previous administrations. Let me say that again, 5 times.
And that is only because of Amazon. And Mr. Mustache Man.
Our Affordable Housing Task Force, co-chaired by Ed Henley and Mick Nelson, made 9 key recommendations in June to be accomplished over the next 3 years. We are delivering on 7 of those 9 recommendations.
What are the recommendations?
For the first time, Metro has a dedicated division of housing, a professional office embedded in the planning department. We're making housing central to land use and development. And I committed to bringing real expertise to housing policy, and we have that expertise in our new housing director, Angela Hubbard. And thank her, and
that was the weirdest clap
you're
I've
growing
ever seen
that
in
division
my life.
Of housing staff. And Angie and her team are guiding us to the greatest era of affordable housing investment in Metro's history. When you combine all of our housing efforts, our previous operating budget, the American Rescue Plan funds, our capital spending plan, the use of a grant from Governor Lee, and donations secured from private developers, we have invested over $100 million in the last 2 years.
Was $70 million of that Amazon?
Today?
Probably.
I am proposing increasing our operating budget funding for housing to over $20 million annually, and supplementing that with another $30 million from the American Rescue Plan, bringing our total affordable housing investment in 3 years to over $150 million. Now,
we saw in the
council members,
the federal money that came in during the COVID time, I believe 50-60% of it went to the affordable housing side of things.
Yep.
Remember, the previous funding for affordable housing was roughly $10 million a year. Now, we are increasing the Barnes Fund to $15 million in this budget, 50% higher than when I took office.
And that was part of the
one key recommendation of the task force, and a commitment I made as a candidate, was to dedicate a recurring revenue stream for affordable housing. And today, I'm excited to announce that I'll work with Metro Council, Affordable Housing Chair Sean Parker, on legislation to designate in perpetuity the Convention Center's $14.3 million payment in lieu of taxes as the primary dedicated source of funding for the Barnes Fund.
All right.
There's one person.
This helps answer the longstanding community request for dedicated revenue for affordable housing.
Well, there you go.
Now, in addition to our greater investment of public funds, private developers have committed their first ever donations to the Barnes Fund. And we are implementing new approaches to creating and preserving affordable housing. Now, over the past 2 years, we have significantly grown our housing policy toolkit. And this spring, we're launching a new participation agreement initiative that incentivizes private market builders to create more affordable units.
And yeah,
Metro Council soon
zones.
Will
it
vote
on
a new tax incentive program to promote mixed-income developments, which will generate an additional 300 units of affordable housing. And I want to thank lead sponsor Berkeley
units.
Allen for her partnership in this effort. This new approach uses private sector housing construction as an engine for affordable housing creation.
Which is probably going to be the
there
major driver over the next 20 years.
1,000 apartments currently under construction in Nashville.
That's a lot.
That's 13% of our total current inventory. This rate of unit creation is the highest in the country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this new supply will help meet overall housing demand, but we need new tools, incentives, and resolve to harness this production to create affordable units for Nashvillians. And finally, our Division of Housing will create a central database with every income restricted unit in Nashville, including MDHA's units. Our renewed partnership with MDHA is paying off.
All right. So random cutoff, I know, but this is the
third video on this Facebook page.
Yeah. So they're not sliced
correctly,
evenly.
Yeah.
So like the last word of the last part of the video doesn't match the first word of this video. So this is just kind of where we're at here. So let's continue where this clip left off, which is not the exact spot that it should have left off at.
To use American Rescue funds to help our most vulnerable residents get off the streets.
Okay,
and
so
into housing.
I think we're talking about
homelessness,
transitioning from housing to homelessness. I think okay.
Today I'm committing us to being a housing first city. An array of safe, permanent housing options with wraparound services.
A housing first city?
Housing first city.
I'm drinking to that.
To act as a foundation for people to rebuild their lives. Housing first because each of us needs a safe place to sleep before it is
possible. I'm gonna need more coffee.
To focus on getting a job, address substance use.
If we were drinking whiskey, we would be drunk.
Or receive mental health services. Now, in this past year, and we should be very proud of this, we housed about 2,000 Nashvillians living on the street or in a shelter. And next month, we will break ground on a 90-unit permanent supportive housing complex, and we are working with national experts on comprehensive, client-centered, low-barrier solutions that focuses on individual needs. To address homelessness, again, we're taking a three-pronged approach. Invest, increase staff, innovate with new solutions. And our 50 million.
It should be
innovate.
Get them off
the street.
That's the 3-point. Get talk to them, bring them somewhere else, and get them off the street.
Reducing staff or increasing staff is not going to necessarily fix the problem.
Number one, find them. Number two, bring them off the street. Number three, keep them there.
$1 million plan to address homelessness will be Nashville's largest ever improvement to our safety net. Now, half of the funds will go to purchase permanent supportive housing units and deeply affordable housing inventory in mixed-use developments over the next three-year period. In order to support choice and meet need where it exists, we will take a scattered site approach with units built in multiple areas of the city. $9 million will fund Housing First supportive services, including case management outreach and improving access to disability and health care benefits. And another $9 million will go to low barrier gap housing for individuals and families on their path to permanent housing. We will deploy housing incentives, landlord engagement, and housing navigators to increase landlord participation.
Now, in this, no. Like, when I was talking about the schools earlier and said, hey, there's no need to, like, talk about this cafeteria stuff, I think there are so many terms in here that are so vague and never really talked about before. Like, we know what a cafeteria worker is. We know what a pay increase is. But, you know, what does all this stuff mean? I don't think I'd mind. I wouldn't mind more specifics here. On
like
what
a,
this
a
stuff
dictionary for each
yeah,
one.
Yeah, like
things.
I just need yeah. a little glossary of what all this stuff means. Well,
my proposed budget includes more homeless impact division staff, which we have increased 92% over our last two budgets. More field staff will coordinate increased outreach efforts and service delivery across the four quadrants.
Like, that means nothing
city.
If you don't know what's happening.
Now, the next part of my agenda is improving core city services. Like trash and transportation to make Nashville a more beautiful and livable city.
Yeah, trash would be a big one.
Yeah.
Now, one of the biggest quality of life challenges in our city in the past few months has been trash collection.
And it's just
a
about to get worse
complicated
because
by supply chain issues.
Murfreesboro, the city of Murfreesboro, basically said we're not taking any outside county's trash.
Were they helping in Nashville?
Yeah, so a lot of our trash was either going to the landfill that's near Centennial Boulevard in West Nashville, and then a lot of our trash was heading down to Murfreesboro.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting how that pans
out. We are allocating $10 million in this year's budget to increase reliability and make sure we take care of this fundamental service.
I don't think that's enough. That's
the cost of five garbage trucks.
That is not a lot.
Now, our waste services division took extraordinary measures to stabilize operations despite the bankruptcy of Red River Metro's primary trash collection vendor since 2004.
He's just shaking his
Metro
head.
Waste service crews worked 12-hour shifts to cover for Red River's failures. We aggressively fought Red River in bankruptcy court and hired two new emergency vendors to take on routes and address delays. And we've turned the corner. Missed collection complaints to Hub Nashville are now back to pre-crisis levels.
There you go.
Now, potholes.
Oh, man.
Yes.
We literally just, let's pause it for a
second. On our roads,
we saw three cars yesterday. They had flat tires because of potholes.
Yeah.
Or at least I did. I don't know about you, Aaron, but I definitely did.
All he did was say potholes and people are cheering. Are people cheering for the potholes?
Yeah. Are you going to fill these things?
Let's find out.
Setting a fifth crew to repair potholes and driving
crew.
Lanes, crosswalks, and bikeways. We're investing in infrared patching technology for permanent repairs. NDOT crews have patched 15,400 potholes already this year.
Wow.
And the time between your report of a pothole to Hub Nashville and NDOT patching it is less than 72 hours.
That's
we are in constant contact with
TDOT
to report potholes on the state roads that they oversee. But it's also time to make Nashville streets and alleyways cleaner. $3 million is to clean up our roads, bikeways, and our alleyways, sweeping streets, clearing brush, and keeping trash out of storm drains and groundwater. We are adding a fourth and fifth litter crew and an alley maintenance crew to boost NDOT's already remarkable work. NDOT is on pace to collect more litter this year than in the past 4 years combined.
Okay.
Where's that litter going to go?
Well, so this is interesting. Is he
because NDOT's still a new department.
NDOT is brand new.
It's
so
only a year old.
It's one of those things like, of course, they're going to collect more litter because NDOT didn't exist
4 years ago.
So, but you know, I think he's talking about then litter was collected, you know, by I guess the Metro government than ever before. But that's what you get when you finally bring in a Department of Transportation,
right? But now, traffic and transportation can make or break a fast-growing city like ours.
Yeah, you should have done
Instead
it a long time ago.
Instead of allowing growth to determine our destiny, we must keep improving our streets, intersections, transportation system, and keep up with our growing needs. Now, 2 years ago, we came together as a community to create and adopt the Metro Transportation Plan. Our people-first plan for traffic and multimodal transit is as practical as it is ambitious. And we finally have a strategy for solving our infrastructure problems in neighborhoods and along busy corridors.
Sidewalks.
And this planning has paid off. Since the council adopted the transportation plan, Nashville has secured an additional $44 million in additional state and federal money in the form of transportation grants, including full funding for a traffic management center.
Which I still can't believe we just got.
Finally.
This has been traffic management. That was something that he really not necessarily campaigned on, but talked about at the beginning of his administration. And yep. He even brought in essentially Atlanta's top person came into Nashville, but she has since left to help with all that traffic management systems.
Now, 92% of Nashvillians live within a half a mile of a Nashville Transportation Plan project. And thanks to over $4 million of new funding in 2021, WeGo has installed 19 bus stop shelters since last summer. And 13 more are in process, including 4 on Buchanan Street. And as part of our initial round of Nashville's first ever participatory budgeting program in North Nashville and Bordeaux, WeGo is adding 6 shelters at 6 different intersections in this summer on Jefferson, Alameda, County Hospital, Whites Creek, Buena Vista, and 10th. And WeGo is back to 107% of pre-pandemic service levels thanks to this greater investment. And this includes
That's great. That means
a new crosstown route and frequency upgrades. Now, my budget includes 45 new positions at our new Metro Department of Transportation.
Well, that's good.
They are to improve maintenance, safety, and engineering. Now, we know
the
they've all been chronically understaffed since the Great Recession. And Nashville needs more sidewalks. This fiscal year, NDOT has added over 20,000 linear feet of new sidewalks. Total sidewalk.
We have an entire episode on the sidewalks and what's being added. Just go into NashvilleDailyPodcast.com,
and
go
search.
Down to the search bar at the bottom, and type in sidewalks.
Yeah.
Completions are up 10% and costs are down. Brick Church, Cane Ridge, Maplewood, Herman, West Hamilton, and Andrew Jackson are projects getting done in the next 7 months. And we're adding a new crew to repair broken sidewalks and curves faster. We're also adding capacity to implement NDOT's Vision Zero plan. Safety projects across Nashville will save pedestrian lives.
Vision Zero just sounds like you can't see.
NDOT began working with 49 additional neighborhoods late last year. And Westchester Drive, O'Brien Avenue, and 23rd Avenue North are traffic calming projects being completed in the next months. And as a result of participatory budgeting, Bordeaux Hills will get new speed bumps in May. A city on the move keeps your people on the move safely and efficiently.
All right, so who knows how much was cut off for this next clip. So this is the last of the 4 clips that you will find on Cooper's Facebook page. There are more clips, but this is like the main meat of it. So it starts off with this one talking about, I think, parks or something.
Now, a better park experience enhances quality of life for families all across Davidson County. In my budget includes 46 new positions to maintain our green spaces.
Okay.
And staff our community centers and expand our greenways while keeping them safe. New aquatic staff at the Napier Community Center will finally provide neighborhood residents with a year-round community pool, which will reopen this fall. Our community centers will increase programming for differently abled adults with 8 new instructors. Here in Southeast, 3 new employees will expand teen programs, outdoor sports, and transportation. And again, thanks to participatory budgeting, the Luby Community Center is getting a much-needed air conditioning system. Yeah.
I'm just shocked Heartland that it didn't have one.
We'll have outdoor bathroom facilities and a new playground. And a new playground and pavilion are coming to Bordeaux Gardens. Our new 600-acre Mill Ridge Park and 800-acre Ravenwood Park
need
maintenance. And in this budget we're delivering, great parks require weekly mowing, daily service for bathrooms and trash collection, and we are making that happen. Now, we also are investing in our neighborhood greenways throughout Davidson County, including along the Cumberland River. Five new professionals will acquire the necessary rights of way and acreage and expand our county-wide greenways at a pace that matches our growth. We're making our parks and greenways even safer for Nashville families.
Gotta get one clap in the back.
And following best practices, we're creating a Nashville first, 14-person dedicated bike unit for the park police.
Wow.
Now, from green spaces to going green, we must rise to the challenge of climate change and do our part to minimize our carbon footprint. In February, we formally adopted an ambitious 2050 goal.
I ran out of coffee.
Reduce community greenhouse gas emissions 80% from 2014 levels. And we have the tools to get that done. We are greening our power supply with 100 megawatts of solar-generated power. That's enough to power one-third of Metro government's energy needs. We're adding solar installations at Metro Water Services sites. We've established a first-of-its-kind dedicated revenue source for tree canopy restoration across the city to support the Root Nashville campaign to plant 500,000 trees by 2050.
Probably need to look into that a little bit.
But we aren't stopping there. We're pursuing fleet electrification, energy efficiency programs in metro facilities, sustainable solutions to solid waste, and build sustainability and resilience into all new developments.
Probably.
Working together, we can do our part to leave our planet and our city better for the next generation.
The thing that I wish they would do selfishly, like from a photography standpoint, is what they do in Hawaii is take all of the street lights
and turn them
and turn them into kind of this yellowish LED so that the light pollution, we can see more stars at night.
Yeah.
That's just a selfish thing.
It's been talked about because I remember we talked about it a few months ago on how they were trying to reduce light emission.
Yeah.
Now, in addition to delivering historic investments in our classrooms, our streets, our parks, and core services like trash collection, we're also hard at work making Nashville a stronger community by making it a more inclusive community. And let me give you a few examples. We're making Metro government more accessible for immigrants by hiring Spanish and Kurdish speakers at Hub Nashville, a part of a broader language access initiative to provide better services at our 911 call center, state trial courts, the Office of Family Safety, and the Woodbine Health Clinic. Now, thanks to Councilmember Rutherford's advocacy, we're adding a social worker focused on veterans services, and furthermore, to appoint a veteran to the Social Services Commission. We're pushing for gender-affirming health coverage for Metro employees. We're funding two new investigators for the Community Oversight Board. We're hiring a city architect to incorporate community feedback and quality design into major projects.
Wait, that wasn't a thing.
We're hiring a city archaeologist to provide in-house assessments for historic sites, including those associated with Native Americans, the Civil War, and early African American neighborhoods. The Libraries NASA summer program will serve 1,100 kids, and for the first time, the Arts Commission will have a full-time equity position. And finally, we're working with council members Jeff Syracuse and Joy Stiles to create an Office of Music, Film, and Entertainment housed in the mayor's office to better support our creative class and protect Music City's future.
Do you think that's because of the Tennessee Film Commission making their announcement?
Maybe.
Okay.
Now, we are the envy.
Just better communication on that stuff specifically between the mayor's office and those entities.
We're becoming a more dynamic and diverse community. And we have bounced back from the pandemic. But we cannot become the victim of our own success. We're here today at Southeast Nashville Community Center because the Nashville we know and love, the Nashville that we serve and want to preserve, is a city rooted in our neighborhoods and in our families. Good schools, clean streets, safe neighborhoods, reliable city services, sound city finances, affordable housing, world-class parks, live, work, play communities to raise a family in. That is Nashville, Tennessee. And as we grow, we must do so in a way that works for every neighborhood, to make sure no one gets left behind. That requires investment and innovation to meet the challenges of growth. That is our vision. And that's why I'm so excited to implement my agenda for neighborhoods and families, the guide for our work in the year ahead. This is not easy work, and there's a lot to do. But I know we're up to the challenge. So let's get to work. Thank you very much.
All right, so that was the State of the Metro address from our mayor, John Cooper. There are several thoughts, and I want, you know, comment below what your thoughts are. There's a few things that I want to say on this. The first major one is this was not, to me, a State of the Metro address.
No, it was.
This is my plan for funding for next year.
Yep.
Address.
Yep.
I would have personally loved more instead of what he did is this is where I want to take Nashville. I mean, which he has the platform. Most politicians would have done what he did. Yeah. It was I would love to hear of more of, you know, this is what happened from 21 to 22 that we are really happy that we did. And accomplished, and there was almost zero of that, besides the mention of a few things that happened during the pandemic that Nashville recovered from economically, and kind of bounced back from. But that my biggest takeaway from this is this was not a State of the Metro. This was Cooper's reelection speech.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Even though he's not technically running till the fall, right?
It's not for a little bit. It's not during this. It's not the election that's happening in about a week or so.
It's in 2023.
There's a while before his election. A lot of politicians still take advantage of this opportunity. You know, not that a lot of State of the Metro addresses for a lot of cities are also like this. Just not my preferred. It's what is our state of the Metro? This is not what are we funding next year. It's what's the current state of the Metro?
Yeah, I would really like to see the successes that we had from the previous years and then even some of the failures that we had as a city and how we can learn from those in the next year going forward, especially within the sense of the budget and how the city operates.
Yeah, the other thing that I thought was very interesting is a lot of the focus was on certain things, and I think a lot of those things were made to make sure that the people with money investing in here stay in Nashville and they don't move elsewhere out of Nashville. So
because Wilson County's looking pretty good.
Yeah, making Nashville look good in the areas that will hopefully keep people in the city. Now, there were a lot of good things. There were a lot of probably unnecessary things in there. But the biggest takeaway, at least for me, as far as what he was talking about, now that I'm getting out of the State of the Metro and in his budget kind of talk, was I think there wasn't enough focus on transportation as far as vision casting. When you're vision casting as a mayor, I think you need to hit at least a little bit of everything. The East Bank was not mentioned once.
Not one bit. Or the Titans.
The new stadium was not mentioned once. which those are very, very important for Nashville in the future, of Nashville's future transportation opportunities, rarely mentioned. It was mostly about bus stops, sidewalks, and neighborhoods, which is a priority of his. I understand that. And those are good things. But still a couple themes that I would have loved to at least hear. If he's going to talk about plans for the future, there are a few things that I think I would have loved to hear about otherwise.
And I think he also had an opportunity to really vision cast as well, like utilizing the Cumberland River more, especially if these huge multi-billion dollar developments are being built along the Cumberland River.
Yeah. So let us know your thoughts about this down in the comments. I'm sure there are some things that there are plenty of good things in the budget for next year. One of the things that Cooper ran on was a stable financial platform. I'm very thankful that he has put us in the position to have a stable financial platform for the next fiscal year. I think that is one positive thing.
Yep. So let us know in the comments, what is the state of Metro Nashville?
What do you think is the state of Metro Nashville? Leave us a comment and we'll probably read some on the air. See you guys tomorrow. For listening to Nashville Daily.
To learn more about today's episode, visit NashvilleDailyPodcast.com. And to stay connected, head to our Discord and you can find the link at NashvilleDailyPodcast.com/connect. Nashville Daily is now offering tours. If you'd like to take a tour of downtown Nashville, head to the link in the show notes or find out more details at NashvilleDailyPodcast.com.
Nashville Daily Podcast is an Explore.Nash production. Copyright 2022.